So let's get started. Sometimes your first idea can be one of your best. Our first show 7 years ago focused on a subject common to all of us, sleep. I begin by talking to Dr. Tom Ware, chief of the clinical psychobiology branch of the National Institute of Mental Health and a cherished protege, colleague, and friend of mine for more than a quarter of a century. Ware talked about a novel experiment in which people were confined to a dark room and allowed to sleep uninterrupted by clocks, schedules, or daylight. Tom, let me start with what seems like a simple question, but perhaps not so much. How much sleep do people really need?
Well, we have done an experiment which gives us at least a basis for making a guess about that, because we actually allowed people to sleep as long as they wanted to. By putting them in the dark every night for 14 hours for a month. And what we saw was that people slept on the average about 8 1/4 hours. That was the amount that they slept during the last week of the experiment. The first night of the experiment, they slept 11 or 12 hours, which suggests that our subjects were walking around with quite a large sleep debt.
How much variation did you have? Did most people hover around that 8 1/4 when they finally settled in?
There was some variation. It was not extreme. There are people who sleep as little as 2 or 3 hours a night and seem to feel fine in the daytime, and then there are people who sleep 10 hours, 12 hours a night and feel that they just barely got enough sleep.
But if somebody wanted to test that for themselves, how long would it take for them to settle out and get over their sleep debt in order to know what they really need?
Well, this was a surprise to us. It seems to take 3 weeks to reach a steady state. It was only in that fourth week that they leveled off and seemed to reach some kind of equilibrium. And I think it may mean that none of us really knows what it's like to be fully awake. I was struck by what some of our subjects said. In that fourth week, they talked about feeling more awake than they had ever felt in their lives and having a kind of crystal clear consciousness that was not familiar to them.
Now, you also pointed out that when you had them in this 14 hours, which was essentially the winter night, that there was 2 hours of quiet, I think you called it quiet wakefulness, then 4 hours of sleep, then 2 more hours of quiet wakefulness, and then 4 hours of sleep again. The sleep was bifurcated or split, and then another 2 hours of quiet wakefulness. Now, do you think that this benefit that they were experiencing in the daytime of this never having felt quite as awake, do you think this was a benefit of the quiet wakefulness or a benefit of the 8 1/2 hours of traditional sleep?
It is interesting that in these long nights, their sleep became kind of fragmented, as you described it. At first glance, this looks like disturbed sleep. I think anybody who slept like that would think they had a sleep disorder. If it took them 2 hours to fall asleep and then they slept for 3 or 4 hours and then woke up again. However, I suspect this is really the natural pattern of human sleep. And the reason I say that is that it very much resembles the sleep of animals. Most animals sleep in bouts with these periods of rest and quiet wakefulness in between. And I think what's happened is that in modern times, we've expanded our day with artificial light so that we've invaded the nighttime hours. And we've compressed our sleep into a solid, uninterrupted, and probably insufficient bout that lasts 6, 7, 8 hours.
Is this quiet wakefulness something like meditation?
Well, I think it really is a kind of altered state, that it's not, for example, like the state that we're in right now, where we're consciously and actively talking and interacting. It's a very different kind of state. It's not sleep. It's not awake. In fact, I think perhaps the state that it resembles that might be most familiar to your listeners is that state that you sometimes enjoy in the morning when you wake up and you don't feel like getting up yet. And so you just lie there motionless, usually. They would be awake for 2 hours or more at a stretch, and they consistently underestimated how long they were awake. They would guess it was an hour or less, which tells me that they were not frustrated lying there or impatient, that it was a kind of dreamy state of wakefulness that passed quickly.
What a lot of people who are devoted to meditation talk about is that state allows them to sort of access the unconscious. And I was thinking, and I think you commented on one of your papers, that
Perhaps these quiet wakefulness periods, particularly if they follow a period of dreaming sleep, might be a way for people to transit between the dream state, the unconscious, the window into the unconscious, and wakefulness.
Well, there is a stage of sleep called REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, which is associated with a particularly vivid kind of dreaming, the kind of dreams that tell a story. And what we found is that in this kind of spontaneous sleeping and waking, that spontaneous waking up usually occurred out of REM sleep, out of these very vivid dreams. So if you think of this kind of natural sleep pattern of sleeping a few hours and then waking up just spontaneously out of REM sleep with its vivid dreams into a state of quiet reverie, I wonder if our ancestors who may have slept that way might have been much more in touch with the dreaming life, and that in modern times, by compressing sleep and getting rid of these intervals of quiet wakefulness, if we've broken off that connection.
So that's what's happened to poetry, huh?
You know, one, sort of stereotype about the march of civilization is that we seem to have lost touch with some kind of wellspring of creativity and poetry and myth, and maybe this experiment, if I'm not overreaching, gives a physiological basis for that conclusion.